Do you not find it interesting that the message of the Bible is God's love for us? And that He wants us to spend eternity with Him, but then, after He saves us, He leaves us here to live out the rest of our lives. Well, we know that we have to qualify for that eternal, unsurpassing experience. And so that's what the message of salvation does. It tells us what the problem is, what's keeping us from entering into heaven. And then it says, here's the way to fix that problem. And yet I thought to myself, excuse me, God has gone to such great lengths to save us. I mean, He sent His Son Jesus because He wants us to go live with Him in heaven. So why does He leave us here after we're saved? I've often dreamed what it would be like if the day that you're buried in to Christ and you're raised up out of the water, and then He just takes you on up into heaven, because at that point you're holy. You know, you're on top of the world. You're now one of His children. Why leave us here to struggle and to be tempted and to do all the other things that happen, you know, while we're down here? Well, I think Ephesians chapter 2 will reveal at least part of the answer, if not all the answer. Now, we know verses 8 and 9 well. Okay, we know that it says how we're saved. But I want to draw your attention then to what verse 10 says. Okay, verse 8 of Ephesians 2. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, now here's why He leaves us after He has saved us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Excuse me again. Salvation is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is a gift that God gives to us. That's verses 8 and 9. Now verse 10. Here is a gift we give to God. We actually can give God a gift. He remade us in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good works. And one of those good works is telling the world the message of salvation so that they too can enjoy the hope of heaven. That's the gift we give to God and to the world. So why does He leave us here? Because He wants us to do something for Him. Look how much He's done for us. Can't we do something for Him? Surely we can. Now, same book, next chapter, in Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to listen to what Paul says here as he explained what the church is to do. Now, he's going to talk about himself at first. But what he's saying about himself in this context is what the church also does. And he'll make that plain when we get to verse 10. Okay, Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 8. To me, who am less than all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In other words, I was saved that God might use me, Paul said, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's why I believe one of the good works for which God leads us here on the earth is that of evangelism. And to make all see, all people see, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things in Christ Jesus, or through Christ Jesus. Now, listen to verse 10. To the intent, here's his purpose, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access through faith in him. Okay, so God has decided that he wants the church to make known to the world his wisdom. And I think Acts chapter 8 is a great example of where you see, in this case, a man by the name of Philip doing that very thing and God working with him. Now remember, Philip has gone to the city of Samaria to preach the good news of the kingdom. While there, an angel tells him, I want you to leave this work and head towards the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza over on the coast. Okay, he didn't ask why, apparently. He just obeyed. He went. When he gets there, he sees a man riding in a chariot. And the Holy Spirit now says to him, go and join yourself to this chariot. So he does so. He finds out that this man is the treasurer of the nation of Ethiopia. And he's reading Isaiah 53, beginning at about the middle of verse 7 through the middle of verse 8. And he doesn't understand what Isaiah is saying. So Philip asks him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no, you know, how can I unless someone guides me? So he invites him into the chariot. And then Philip preaches to him Jesus. Here's my point. Who's doing the preaching here, Philip? Couldn't the Holy Spirit do it? The Holy Spirit was right there telling Philip, see that chariot and that man in the chariot? Go join him. Why couldn't the Holy Spirit go do that? There's Philip way north in Samaria, and an angel says, I want you to go down to this road. Couldn't the angel have gone and preached the gospel to this man? Yes. Why didn't they? Because God did not tell them to preach the gospel. He tells us to preach the gospel. But he works with us, and I'll give you a passage a little bit later that shows that, that we work with God, God works with us, to get this whole great message accomplished and getting it out to the world. So, the Lord tells us to do something. And he leaves it pretty wide open as to how we can accomplish it. And I think that if he wants us to go down a certain road, you know, we'll go that path and he'll provide whatever resources are necessary to make sure that we succeed in that work. But again, the question comes up, why do we have to do it? Why doesn't the Lord do it himself? Well, he could do it. There's no question about that. But we are his servants. And servants do what their masters want done. Even if the master can do it himself. I mean, that's what a master-servant relationship is all about. In most cases, the master himself can do what needs to be done. Or he can at least contribute to it some way. But he's decided to hire servants to get the job done. And that's what God has done with us. He just wants us to do it. He's the master. He can decide that's the way he wants to do it. And again, I want to remind you of thinking about what a great thing he's done for us. Do we expect him to do everything? Can't we do something for him? Something that he asks us to do. I think so. And we should be glad to show our gratefulness toward Him for the things He's done for us. I love this passage here. I'll have it up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, which I think describes the indescribable blessing of working with God. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. We are God's fellow workers. Can you imagine yourself going outside and finding an ant? An ant, A-N-T, on the ground and saying, you know what? I want the two of us to work together. And the ant says, well, what do you want me to do, master? I want you to tell all the other ants that they need to come here and I'll feed them or something. I don't know. But that isn't that, well, that's not even an appropriate comparison, is it? The difference between an ant and a man is not nearly as great as the difference between a man and God. Am I right? And yet, He has said, I want us to work together. All right, Lord, well, if that's the way you want, or if that's what you want, then that's fine with me. We'll work on it together. Do you remember earlier this year we had Brother Joel Coppinger here from World Bible School? Evidently, he went to college with Dennis and Ann Pugh. So he was there to see them, Ann anyways. And so she asked if he could speak here, and you know, we said, sure, that'd be great. And he reported on the work of World Bible School for us. During his presentation, he said something that really surprised me big time. I don't know if it did you or not. Typically, the world of Bible school has been in Africa and India and other far-flung places of the earth. But he said they chose a new nation and they put ads on the internet within certain places in this new nation. And it shocked them and me when they saw the results. He told me over the phone this week, because I wanted to reconfirm this, that 50,000 people in the first 3 months of 2012 responded to these ads saying, we want to study the Bible. Can you imagine putting out some ads and tens of thousands of people say, hey, that's a good idea. I want to do that. But to me, that number wasn't the biggest shocker yet. The next one was when he revealed the nation, the United States of America. What? I was sitting about where I was tonight, and I was thinking, you got to be kidding me. The United States of America? You put internet ads out, and 50,000 people in the nation that we think no one's interested in studying the Bible, 50,000 people in that nation said, in just 3 months' time, I want to study the Bible? See, we've persuaded ourselves no one's interested in the Bible here. No one's interested in the gospel. No one's interested in Jesus. But you know what? I think we need to hear a confession from one of the psalmists. When he wrote in Psalm 116 and verse 15, or verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. We have said in our haste, no one wants to study the Bible. And I was delighted to see that. It's true, some people will never desire to study the Bible. I don't care what you do. In fact, you may even say that that's the majority of the people. I mean, notice the number was 50,000 and not 300 million, the population of America. Okay, but still, 50,000 through this one particular method, and I never saw the ads. So it wasn't even made available to all people. So Brother Covinger told us about Connect. Because I'm thinking, okay, what did you guys do? And can we do that? Can we have a part in it? Connect is a part of the World Bible School website. And what a local church does, such as the Sabbath Street Church of Christ in Grants Pass, Oregon, we create our own unique web address. And I've been checking on some to make sure they're available, like GrantsPassBibleStudy.com or YouInTheBible.com. And I've got several listed, and they're all available. So we need to come up with a unique name. And what happens is people will click on this ad that has that address, or it won't even be that. Maybe we can put an ad in the newspaper or whatever. And so they type in that address in their web browser, and then it takes them to the World Bible School website, and then they fill out their information. And I did it myself this week just to see how it works. So, you know, I put in Don Rule, and then, of course, I put down there Grants Pass, Oregon. Boom, there's a connection being made with us. So then, within 20 hours, they hook you up with a teacher, which in this case would be someone from here. And then you work with that person. So what I want to do right now is demonstrate that. That's why I got my computer up here instead of hidden down below. So what I'm going to do is I've already got it set up, and I'm going to go to this website. So anyone that, whatever we set up, they're going to come right here to this website. And it just talks a little bit about it. You can see World Bible School up here. And you learn at your own pace. You can see sort of what it says here. And they read through those things. It's not long. It's not complicated. It's not filled with a bunch of junk. So then they'll click on this button down here, get started, or you could have done it up above, up here, sign up for free. I think there was one other one. Yeah, register today. It all does the same thing. So they click here, and then it takes them to another web page. And then this is what I did earlier. You know, I put in my name, and of course I got this autofill thing, so it fills out everything for me, except for the year I was born, 1957. I should have said 1900, none of your business. It said 1905. Come on now. There we go. All right. Now they have a choice here. See, on the web, learn online or by email, or they could click here. Postal paper lessons mailed to you. Now, this changed when I did that. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Okay, so there goes that again. It puts in my email. Now, I've already registered, so I don't know what it's gonna, if it's going to let me do this again. Yeah, there were problems because I've already done this. But let's see. I wanted to take it to one of the Bible lessons. Maybe if I log in. Oops. What next? Okay. Okay, I think this is the second lesson. I've already done the first lesson. And now the student will read that information there. And then John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. I know that one already, so I don't have to read the lesson. You know, so I just continue to go through it, okay? You can tell over here that it's already dropped down to the second part, so they've got these here to go. And then email this lesson to me, which I had also clicked that, so I got it in my email. But anyways, that just shows, thank you for the lights there, Rick. It shows how easy it is for someone to do this. And then I'm not sure yet how it all works behind the scenes as far as getting us in contact with someone. Now, I have absolutely no idea how this will go over in Josephine County, Oregon. It might be that we'll have two people, or zero, or 20, or 200, or 2,000. I don't really know. I have no idea. But I think what we need to do is be prepared. So what I need are some workers. And what I would like you to do, if you're at all interested in this, we can have a meeting, because I want us to work on this together. I don't want it to be all me. In fact, I would prefer not to do any of the grading of the lessons or anything. I would just like to run it and have you be the teachers. But I would like you, if you're interested, you know, there's scrap paper in the back of the pew right in front of you. Pull that out, get that pencil right there, and put your name. Please write it legibly so Don Rule can read it. So put your name, you know, John Doe, connect. That's all I need to know. John Doe, connect. And then please give that to me. If you have any questions, when we have our elders forum here in just a little bit, I'd be glad to tell you what little bit I know at this point in time. But, you know, maybe we'll get 10 of you to volunteer and we have 2 students. Well, okay. I would much rather be over-prepared than not prepared at all. You follow what I'm saying? So I think this is very important. And I don't want to get overwhelmed with having to have to do all these things myself. I think it should be a congregational effort. And I think you'll all enjoy it as a result of that. So I'd like you now to go to Mark chapter 16, where we find the Great Commission. Okay, Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. About 40 days have transpired, and he's getting ready to leave them. He appears to them and rebukes some of them for their doubt, but then gives them instructions. And he also gives them his backing. Now watch this. Mark 16:14. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Just as some of the disciples then doubted, there will be some who will doubt today. There will some say, "This won't work." Or, "It could be done better or in a different way." And maybe you're right, if someone were to say that. Some will have a defeatist attitude, some will criticize, but listen to the Lord. He is the one who came up with the Great Commission. It's not us. It wasn't the apostles. It's not some church council, and it's certainly not this congregation. It's his idea of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And it's not for us to decide whether we'll be successful or not. That's on him. He's the commander in chief. He says, "I want you to go and march." "Well, but I don't think that'll work, Lord. You don't know what our generation's like." I hope that none of us ever think that way. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you know what? If this is not a good work and he thinks there's a better way, he'll stop it. He won't fund it. And this is going to take some money. It's going to take some money to set up the website and to do several other things. The money's involved. And we've got the money to do it, so there's really no question about that. But he just wants us to plant and water, and he'll give the increase. See, too many times we worry about the increase when we should be concerned about the planting and the watering. Let him give the increase. That's on him. That's not on us. And not only that, but it's on the people who hear. He's not going to force anyone to believe. And so if someone doesn't believe, that's not on us and it's not on him, it's on that person. So if he doesn't want us going to a certain location or dealing with a particular person or using the evangelism method that we've chosen, such as what I'm proposing to you here, I say, Lord, stop us and redirect us where you want us to go. If this fishing hole's no good, we'll go over here. We'll just keep trying until you say, that's the place over there. And it might be that sometimes we'll try a particular method in a certain way at a certain time, and it doesn't work. Now he wants us to do again, and we'll say, Lord, we've already tried that, but just to show you again, we'll do it again, and it may be different this time. You know what I'm referring to? When Jesus told Peter, let down your net, and Peter said, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. I fished here all night, and we're not going to catch anything, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll drop in the net. I love the way Peter says that. And then there's so many fish, the nets are breaking, he's calling his friend, buddies to come over, and suddenly realizes what he's done. He doubted his best friend. He doubted the master of heaven and earth. And he fell down at the knees of Jesus and said, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. See, we're not the commanders. He is. And again, it's not all on us or even on him. It's on the people that we talk to. Now, I think in verses 17 and 18, he's showing us there's going to be mighty forces arrayed against us. But we shall prevail. Mark then shows that when the disciples did what the Lord commanded, he worked with them and they did wonderful things. Look at 19 and 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. And Mark says, amen. So, how many people have been saved in the past 19 centuries because those men did what Jesus said to do after they initially doubted? Only the Lord knows. How much have they changed the world? They've changed the world for all time politically, artistically, socially, just about in every way you can imagine. Because they planted and watered and let God give the increase. And that's what we need to do here. So, I'm not promising anything. I'm not saying this is the way to do it. We've tried different things. Here's a new one. May the Lord prosper. And please, if you're interested, not even if you don't even say you want to do it yet, just if you'd like to find out more, your name and connect on a piece of paper and give that to me. So, I'd like to encourage you to be rededicated to the Lord tonight. Be rededicated to following Him and His wishes, whatever it is that He says He wants you to do. Even if you think it can't possibly work. I used to think that about loving your enemy. He tells me to love my enemy. That won't work, Lord. I was convinced that won't work. Excuse me? Does he know what he's talking about? Yes, he does. Don Rule, you need to repent. And Don Rule has repented. Okay? So if we can help you tonight, come forward as we stand and sing.